by the end of Saturday, it was, we need to take out the young dude. We need to take out the lefties.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time hitting 5-foot putts.
Did I see that you hit a ball so hard you broke a driver head?
That is correct. It may be the only ball I squared up all day.
So, what's your handicap?
Well, we don't have to talk about that right now.
I was a member at a private course like the last 2 years, but I've never been as like into golf. Was that a humble brag, guy?
That was such a humble brag. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Lefties Lounge podcast. It has been a few moments since we've been here, but we are coming back with a vengeance. We got John Krafik up top. We got Frankie down low. And I am fucking excited to be here.
Yeah, obvious.
What's up, boys? Krafik, what's going on, man?
It is, it's been a long time coming. You just told us off air that this last podcast we did was the Ryder Cup. So
yes.
It is, it feels very fitting to be back. It actually does feel like it's the cap on the season. We just had the last gin day on Sunday. So handicaps are closed. So it does feel right to be talking again, to kind of close this year out.
It does. And as I was telling Frankie before this, it took some things to happen because I don't know. There's a lot to get into, like outside of the golf tournaments and stuff like that. But man, we had a crazy weekend and I think that's part of the reason we're here. Frankie's got some news. I have some news and Krafik, you have some pretty big news too.
Wait, Krafik's got some news too.
There's news all around. And just for everybody, if we still even have listeners at this point, if you're listening to this, kudos to you guys and thank you for listening. But goddamn, none of us, me and Krafik obviously know each other's news, but we don't know Frank's news and Frank has no clue what's going on with us.
I'm lost with you. Yeah. I think I could take a guess with, so I didn't know. I kind of forgot that you guys played with each other this weekend.
Right.
You had mentioned it last week to me, Ronnie, that
there was
potentially
possible
that you guys were playing.
Yes.
And then you came in hot yesterday with you're like, I have some news. Can you pod for the first time? Actually, I can't even tell you last time. I'm trying to think back of when I was on last.
I can't remember. It was pre-move.
So which had to be.
It was like second lesson. It was like the second lesson we took with Pete, I think. I think you went to two, right?
Yeah, I missed the third one, but I think I don't know if I was on after that, but I mean, August, I started my new job August 11th. So I definitely wasn't on after that. So that's 3 months.
Yeah.
Three months.
Been a while. Have you
probably 3.5 months?
Have you played golf at all?
I haven't played since I played with you that day.
Oh, that one. Yeah. That was the last time. Yeah.
One Saturday or whatever it was.
Which Sunday. I can't remember, but I don't think anything happened crazy, right?
It was just a fun round. No, because Ronnie and Dave were playing in the like alternate shot Candlewood thing, and you and I were just playing
our own singles.
Yeah. I think I shot a 91, so nothing to be too proud of. But
yeah, I can't remember after what happened this weekend. I can't
remember. Yeah. I mean, have you guys played a lot of golf?
Dude. No, like I've played, I think I've played like 4 rounds maybe, which felt like
in the last
like 2 months, I think.
Okay.
Like months and a half, I should say.
I feel like the last time maybe it was the Ryder Cup podcast. Cause after I listened to it, you were like, I'm going to take a hiatus because
I'm definitely burnt out
a little bit.
Yeah. Yep.
Honestly, didn't even think we would ever see you again.
Yeah.
After that conversation.
I floated. I floated very close to the abyss. Like I was so close to being there.
Yeah.
Was it just burnt? Were you just burnt out?
I was just stuck. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah, it's yeah. not that I was, it's very like, it sounds very like condescending, but like, I was just like, I was playing okay golf and I yeah. just like, wasn't getting any better. I was just shooting like mid 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
I was,
I feel like that happens to a lot of people. You have to, then, right. like, then you got to make a change, right? Like right. that's the, yeah.
And I knew, and that's the thing is I knew that I needed to make a change and I wasn't practicing and I wasn't like, I knew I kind of need to make like a little bit of a move change. I just need to create more lag. Like, I know that with my swing, I know I have to do that, and I know I couldn't just do it in like a month right there. So right. I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna
play. End of the season,
I'm just gonna play.
Like,
yeah.
What am I gonna do?
Yeah. I would need to like I need to really put time on this. So I was like, eh.
Me though, I'll tell you what, I have.
Yeah, you've been slowly grinding.
I've been slowly grinding, because I had that league, the River Oaks league.
That's right.
I played at least 9 holes every week, which was awesome. We can get into that at some point. I don't really need to, we didn't do very well in it. And, it was good. It was fun. It's good course, good people. But yeah, I got to play. So then I played a round at Candlewood, a round up north by myself. And then this last one, with Krafik here. So yeah, I have played a decent amount. I wish I played
pretty steady, right? Like in the league.
Yeah, in the overall league, it was every Tuesday, 9 holes. Still didn't feel, for some reason, I had this crazy idea that I was going to be able to do the league and play golf on Sunday. the wife had other plans.
She never had that plan.
Just yeah. wasn't just
as one, they yeah. do. Yeah,
yeah. Never, do. Never was going to be the plan to play 27 holes of golf.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason I haven't played a hole of golf or swung a golf club since that day.
Even got
yeah.
to look at them.
Yeah, yeah.
There's you're lucky you even got to bring them down right to DC. Yeah. Exactly. So how do we want to approach this, boys? Frank, do you want to say your announcement first, or do you want to?
Yeah, because I feel like mine's like a soft announcement. You guys seem very like
okay. So this is how we're gonna do it. You're gonna do yours. I'm gonna do mine, and the build up to Krafik is gonna right, be. Right. What's that?
You know Krafik's announcement, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah. Why don't you guys? Yeah, take a guess at mine.
Okay. Go ahead, Krafik.
No, you go first.
All right. So the first thing I've been thinking about this since Sunday when we talked. I said first off that you either joined a club or have access to a private golf club.
That was my guess. So
okay, so that's your guess then. I'm gonna go with something. I'm gonna go with my next guess because I thought about it and I had an epiphany. I think that since you're closer to a buddy, that you might be going down to a golf heaven.
Oh my gosh, Mike at Pinehurst. I wish that was my news.
Oh damn.
However, yeah. that's just accessible now.
Right.
Like, I just need to like plan a weekend to do that
right.
with Mike. Because it's like a 5-hour trip south, and like I was doing 5-hour trips for like 3 months straight to DC
yeah.
to Ridgefield. So like no problem.
That's yeah. That's
so awesome. you guys are like on the right path of access to a private club, but okay. I'm gonna one up that.
Oh,
we are really trying to buy a house in a community with a private club. So house on a course.
Oh my god. Yo,
that thought didn't cross wow. my mind.
Yeah, so we're
honestly that might have been level. Better than graphics.
So, dude, well, but the thing is,
that might
be
better than both of us.
This is all like, it's all potential, right? Like
what's it contingent on?
Yeah, it's contingent on finding a house in that neighborhood. Right?
Okay, so, but like, that's the goal.
But even yeah, the fact that Allison will allow that.
So I'll tell you. Like, so we've been
huge plus.
So we've been like looking obviously for houses since we've been down here, and just haven't found like the right area, and it's been tough, right? Like where we live currently is just not. Probably not where we want to live. Also, like the house prices are just fucking crazy. So last weekend we went out to like more Eastern Maryland, Edgewater, which actually you guys know Chris Razor.
Yeah.
So he lives down here. He just bought a house out there. And So we went out there to look at their house and just like drive around to see the area. The negative is that's a little further out than I would probably like. However, we drove into this community and I was like, yep, I'm good here. And Allison was like, yeah, I love this community. Let's buy a house here. Yeah. Dude. Yeah. Well, because it's got all the other stuff too, right? It's got the pool,
the clubhouse,
It's got the kids stuff.
The like kids.
It's
got all the stuff.
Yeah.
So we're just driving around in this awesome neighborhood with great houses and a golf course. And I'm just like salivating. I'm like, yeah, let's fucking do this. So now we just got to hopefully houses will, you know, come on the market in that community and we'll jump on it. But yeah,
that's the point. Like, prayer.
Again, like who knows what, you know, if I mean, it's contingent on a house coming on the market, right? Or at least one house, because who knows if we'll get the first one. But yeah, so I have,
God damn, man, that's exciting.
Clubhouse, the memberships coordinator, so they're going to get me on the course hopefully soon. And yeah, they're like, yeah, you can come do a trial, you know, a trial run on the course.
Yeah.
You can so I'm like, hell yeah.
Dude. Yeah. Wow. That's like the best possible option that I could see.
Yeah, I didn't anticipate this at all.
Like, yeah,
this was not a plan. Wow. Like, we drove into the community and I had no expectations of buying a house there. And we drove in and we're like, wow, this is, you know, you get that feeling with a house. You're like, yeah, this is the spot.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And Allison loves it. So that's
oh my
icing
God.
The cake.
Yeah. That's
so I'll wow. keep you all updated. But
good for you. Yeah, definitely.
Can't wait for that follow up.
Yeah, and then you need some more people to help you out.
Yeah, come with
the course trial, is all right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, yeah.
I'm a plumber. I can check out the fixtures and stuff.
It's called the club at South
Study Grass.
What is it?
Well, the club
at South, the golf club at South River.
All right,
in Edgewater, Maryland.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to look that up.
So I have no idea about the course. Like I looked it up quickly, but.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't care.
I'm sure it'll be just fine.
Dude, I bet it's so nice.
Wow.
So the quick pictures were nice. Yeah.
Well, that's a good
on a river. It's right on like a inlet river, so it'll be good.
That is a great start to this. What are we gonna name this episode? Just
The Last Hunt.
The Last Hunt. All right. So here we go. This is my turn now.
Can I take a guess at yours?
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
So I originally, because I forgot that you played with Krafik, I was going to guess that you shot under par on your nine. But I don't, that's my guess that you shot at or under par on nine. But now I'm kind of taking that away.
Well, I'm going to set the stage for us.
Wait.
What's that? Okay. No. Don't guess anymore. Cause you're going to ruin it.
I have an epiphany now, and once you say it,
he's seeing things.
Yeah, I just saw it in your eyes. And
he just pulled into the neighborhood. He just saw the golf courses.
So as we heard from Krafik in the beginning of this episode, this is our last hunt because it was the last day we could put scores in Connecticut. I was super close to my goal. I was a 10.3. And I had one last shot.
Well, so what'd you start at? Give a little context, because this was our kind of season long
thing. Yeah, at the beginning of the season, we all had our handicaps before we went and got to see Pete and stuff. And I was at a 12.7. I started at the goal was to get under 10.
Single digits.
And I believe I said that getting under 10, I wouldn't call myself a single digit guy. So there's that. Okay.
Why?
What's that?
Wait, why?
I feel like, I don't know.
Like 9.9 is not single digits.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like it's so close to 10, like blah, blah, blah.
What about 9.8?
Also, you would never play around in the nines.
Right.
Like you'd like this year you would end at a 9.9 and you'd never actually play around as a single digit handicap.
Right. But here we are. We have one last time, one last hunt.
Do you know the target score to get there?
Me and Hammy were doing it and I had to break 80 was the,
okay.
Yeah. I had to break 80 and
we're at Fairview too.
We decided,
we decided
to go to Fairview.
Okay? Yeah.
Decided to go to Fairview.
Bigger bucks over there.
I'm going to I'm gonna walk you through the score.
Yeah, dramatic.
And we're gonna do a dramatic.
No, no. No, what? Wait, we have to set the stage. So,
oh yeah,
we get there. It's actually, it was pretty chilly.
It was pretty cold.
That was the first, that was my first like real cold round, but, course was pure, but we are about to I think it was like what 30, it was cold the night before. So there was definitely like a frost delay of maybe 30, 45 minutes. I don't think we didn't know exactly, but we were teeing off at 10:30. By the way, which was mint. That was such a good idea.
Yeah, it was great timing. I figured it was the last round probably for me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to freeze my balls off. So let's go a little bit later. Figured we'd miss the frost delay, but we didn't. So that he made us tee off at 10. Now, Frank, you know 10 at Fairview. Oh, that is a really, really tough opening.
Yeah, that's a stuff. Yeah,
it's just that's you could tell that me and Kravick's morale was just a little bit down because it's like, man, I hope when the tee falls that we don't have to go first so we can at least see somebody hit a golf ball. And
who are you playing with?
Hammy and Brett. Okay. So
we're playing a two man game.
Yeah, two man game. They decided they wanted to do carts, so it was the lefties against the other Masters boys.
Nice.
Minus Dave, RIP Dave. He actually passed us on the way and was like, "Hey, are you golfing?" And I was just like, "Yep." I felt bad. That's so funny. Yeah. We go off a 10, and I think Hammy was first.
No,
Hammy wasn't.
No, Brett went first. Then
Brett went first. Then you went. Then I went. I ended up hitting the green. I hit probably one of the more pure shots I have in a while. Spun back a little bit and made a really good two putt to par. So started off good. Then that end up going par bogey on the 13th hole now. And then I proceed to go par.
So I'm
out in 37.
Jeez.
So I'm like 79 watches now, like,
you know, 70.
What? And what'd you shoot there? Like, what'd you shoot there this year? Didn't you go super low there? Didn't you shoot 76?
I didn't go super. No, I went. I did that at Candlewood. That was the other.
That was at
round.
Candlewood. Yeah. That's right.
That was actually at Candlewood. So I was feeling really, really solid. My swing felt good. My tee box, like anything off the tee box, was good. Even the misses,
your money,
like,
with the driver.
Yeah, everything was good, and my flight was
that's
good.
That's important there too. Yeah, didn't go with the driver there is good.
Yeah, everything was amazing. So this is where it gets.
Also, that back nine is so.
Gettable.
You're probably not playing driver all that much.
Exactly. You're not.
Yeah. No, and I picked and choose too, and I was striping my three wood, which was sick.
Yeah.
This is where it gets a little hairy. Because now I'm starting to, you know, there's a little weight going into the thing.
You're one over through nine.
And I'm like, man, I've been swinging so well, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna change anything. I believe I took out a three wood and absolutely piped it. No, it was driver, actually.
It was driver on
I
one,
said,
right?
Yeah, I said I wasn't going to change anything because I was flirting between. I was like, do I just hit a hybrid? Like, I'm playing good, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know what? You always hit driver here. We talked about this at the Masters,
yeah,
Frank.
We always talk about this hole.
Don't change anything. Hit your driver. And I did, and I was happy, and I had 120 yards out.
Short on the driver there, huh?
What's that?
Short on the driver there, huh?
All right, Frank. It's good to have you back, buddy. 120.
Don't worry,
yards
I up. Was reminding him all day.
Yeah. I ended up getting a 7 from 120 yards.
Oh, Jesus.
So I got a quad.
Okay.
Shoot an 8. Then I go par, bogey.
So you're 6 over.
So that's 7, right? That's number 7. Is that
on 7? Yeah. So you're 6 over.
Yep.
Two
bogey.
7.
Par. For a 42.
So fucking 79.
So I shot a 79, Frank. So wow. Now the suspense is there.
Yeah, so now you got to plug it in.
The suspense is there.
Exactly. So dude, he had that gin app out so fast in the car.
Didn't even get to the car.
First of all, that's great round. I mean, one bad hole, right?
One bad hole. 79 with an 8. So,
yeah.
Could have been a really, really good round. The 8 was just, it was just sloppy. It was sloppy.
Yeah, what'd you do there? Yeah. I'm trying, like, what did you, like?
So, Jesus.
I think you chunked the first one. You hit the first one shitty.
And then you blew the green.
Just flushed a wedge 20 yards over that green on one where it just goes down the fucking
hill. Yeah, there's no.
I was up against a tree. I had to chip out again. Then I duffed again up the hill. Then I duffed. Like it was just as bad as it could have been.
That was one of the more. That was easily one of the more painful holes I've watched.
Yeah. Just ever. Like, wow.
Like because
I'm coming off a plus one.
Coming off a plus one, and we were talking about it. Like we stopped, Ranger Rick stopped us on the tee box. The guys went in to go get drinks. And we were just sitting there like waiting. So you're just sitting there on one waiting. And then like when you hit it over the green, I was like, oh my God. The minute I saw it go over, I was like, that's literally dead. Like there's no way he's like, that's dead.
I was like, fuck.
But to come back, I was so happy that I came back with that par train. Like, and then the next bogey I had was a sloppy bogey. Cause dude, the biggest thing about this round is I was smacking the greens. I was hitting greens from anywhere, dude.
Yeah.
I had a lot of green irregulations and the old putter was, She was rocking. And dude, I have a new name for my putter. I finally found it. Old Yeller.
Why?
Because I'm always taking her out hunting for birds, dude.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. When he first told me that, I literally cried.
I wish so bad we had like a podcast that like 100,000 people listen, so you just get ripped off.
I don't care.
Or just created the newest trend in golf.
Yeah.
And you're gonna hear, "Hey old girl, hey old Yeller."
White males naming their putters after a hunting. Yeah.
So the suspense is over now. I shot the 79. Who knows if I'm gonna get it? I type it in, and because of the 8, it gets adjusted to a 78. Oh.
Yeah.
And I am now a 9.8.
Oh, that's sick, man.
Dude.
Wow.
We've officially got to feel.
I mean, that's got to feel so good. Like, I mean, I can't imagine being a single digit. So,
I mean, like you said, I haven't been able, I'm not going to be able to really play as a.
Yeah. A I mean, you're not until March.
So, really the first time that I'm going to be playing as a single digit handicap is at the Masters probably.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, it's, you know, I'm going to have a sweet winter and I can say that I'm a single digit, I guess. And we'll see how it goes in the spring, man.
That's sick though.
But yeah, I did it. I got the goal and it feels good. But I, despite all of this, I was still outshadowed.
So I have a guess for traffic. I'm not gonna guess.
Yeah,
I'm not going to.
Dude, that is crazy though. 12-6 to fucking 9-8. Like, and you played golf maximum once a week. Like maximum.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to make that jump like
three, you know, almost three.
Almost three strokes, dude.
Can you guys remember what you wanted your average scores to be? Remember when we did that? Did anybody write those down?
Yeah, I remember mine, but
do you?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I could look it up now.
I think I wanted mine to be like an 85, and my average score is an 85.1.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
I love how they have that too. By the way,
yeah, like, it's so nice because you can just gauge it. You're just like, okay, if I shoot an 85, I'm a this. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But whatever. So we got one
more. 88, but I'm trying. That was my goal.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you did plenty of that.
I had a lot of 88s.
Dude, that was your score this year.
Yeah. it was. I literally, my last like five, there was like.
If you kept playing, Frank. Yeah,
I think I would have dropped.
You would have definitely dropped, right?
Because I dropped one stroke in my gin, I think I would at least got another one the way I was playing. And I had the thing is, I have a ton of like scores that are would have dropped, you know, like high scores, like 96.
Right.
How do you see your average score?
Just going to stats. Okay. On the bottom there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, average score 91. Oh. So, no.
So no,
I didn't reach any goals. Okay, graphic.
Well, we'll do a big recap and figure that out later. But graphic, I can't even wait to hear this.
And all right, so I have the scorecard up. We'll give a little more a little more backstory. But going into this round, I was I think I texted you, Ronnie, that like I wanted to break 90. Like that was a legit kind of my mindset. So the last time that I played golf before this round, I kept score for like 7 holes. That's how bad it was. And the reason I kept score for 7 holes was because I had one hole that I didn't 3 or plus putt on. I was playing with Nate, and I just like at one point I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing right now. I'm not keeping score anymore. I'm just gonna like fuck around.
And when was this? Like how long?
This was 2 weeks ago.
Okay. All right. So not that long ago.
Not that long ago. The rounds before that is what I was talking about. I was playing like low, not even low 80s, like 83, 84, 85, 86 area. Playing once a week, not hitting balls, not really doing anything. I end up deciding to go to the range. I was like, you know, I got to go to, I played so bad the last time I was out. I was like, I'm going to go to the range before we go to Fairview. This is our last like shot. Like I got to like, I was like, I kind of got a little more up for it than I had been recently. So went to the range, and after 60 balls, I was about to text Ronnie that I was not coming. Like I was like, I'm dead ass just going to quit. I'm not playing the rest of the year. Like this is where we'll leave it. And I'll be happy with it. And, the last 10 balls, I finally like found something, and I was just completely overthinking, overdoing everything. I was pulling everything. I was like hitting draws, and I just wasn't swinging to hit a draw, which was like, it was bad. Like I just had no idea. I had no feel for where the ball was. I was hitting like high toe off the face. Just, I could not hit the toe. I couldn't not hit the toe. So found something in the last 10 swings and was just like, fuck it. All right. I'm just going to like kind of go off that feel. And the starting on the back thing definitely like, so I'd sucked at Fairview on those first 3 holes the last like 4 times I'd play there. It fucked me up. I'd be like 4 or 5 over through 3 or 4, and I'm like, it just kind of ruined your round.
Right. You know? Yeah.
And so I'd been thinking about that start, and to be able to go off 10, I was like, it like definitely worked out in my favor, where I'm telling you, I had like 0 expectations for this round.
It probably like psyched you, like it just psychologically, like you went from thinking about those first 4 holes to not having to think about them at
thinking
all.
About,
you're just thinking about
exactly
completely different things. Yeah.
3-wood driver. Like, what am I going to do to, all right, go hit an 8-iron? Like,
right.
It was so much, freed me up to like so much. 10th tee off, first tee, hit it in the fucking sand on the right.
Okay.
The pins on the top shelf. The sand is concrete. So I literally decide to just chip it, like pip, like just pick it off the sand. Hit an all right shot, had like a 20 footer, almost made the 20 footer, tapped in for bogey. I don't know how descriptive I should be in this, Ronnie. You think just like what do we want? We want like details, or should I just go scorecard?
No, I mean I want the details. I think the everyone
where they're necessary. Yeah, where they're necessary. I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. I have no idea what's going on right
okay.
now. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you just bogeyed.
All right. So I'm one over. Yeah. So I'm one over. Now
I took a commanding
lead. I'm just gonna go through the. Yeah, he did actually. So that was the thing in my mind. Really, what I was doing was like, I wasn't even playing for score. I was just like, all right, I'm just going to try to like, I want to play against Ronnie. Like, I'm just going to try to beat whatever he's doing.
Right.
And essentially like just trying to beat everyone in the group, because we were playing a 2-man game. And to your point earlier, this is actually what I think was huge for me, was the back 9 at Fairview takes driver out of your hands, like to start. So it made I didn't have to hit it anywhere. So 11, I hit 3-wood, green in regulation, 2-putt. 12 was that par 3. I actually, all of the par 3s, I hit the right club. I just flushed it, pull draw. So everything I missed deep right. The par three, I got up and down, made like a 10 footer to get up and down, make a par there. So one over through three, 13 was what? Which one's 13?
13's like the one in the woods there, right? Where you got the...
Oh, the shorty.
Yeah, it's short, but you got...
Yeah, you got the field goal.
Oh, right. Yeah, I went three wood there again, two putt. 15 was...
Well, 14's in the par, the short par four.
Or sorry, 14, yeah, the short par four, which I took five wood, hit it to the green, chunked the chip, end up making par there, which is like a birdie hole. So I was like, shit, like that would have been the hole to get one back if I was going to get one there. Right, now I'm one over through four, what, like these fucking numbers are
five holes.
One over through five.
Five, yeah.
Then that par four, I end up hitting three wood.
Yeah.
Have a 56 degree in and stick one, make the putt, birdie.
Yeah. Nice. Just to put it in perspective, I was hitting my driver very well and he was still out driving my driver with the
three. Gotcha. Yeah.
Like
gotcha.
That's how well he
so
was hitting.
I'm just thinking about this though. So Ronnie's one over, you're both one over.
We're tied right now.
Five holes.
Yep.
Right. So six we're just holes.
Yeah.
Or now just, five holes and now you make birdie to go even. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Jesus.
Yeah. So yeah. The car is vibing.
Brett Hammy are just a barrage of us. I don't think Brett had a par or a birdie on the front nine.
No, he didn't. He didn't have one till like the 15th.
It was like 50. He was not in a good place. And Hammy mixed in a couple good holes, but we.
Right, you guys are just you guys are just
absolutely yeah. trouncing them at this yeah. point. Yeah,
and we're and just super smooth, like yeah. nothing, like no
yeah easy
like, no thrills easy just yeah, yeah just yeah. like two putt. And right. so I actually, I brought this up before the round, but I want to do something next year where essentially like we keep track of how many holes we play in a row without a three putt. Like, what do you think the longest, oof. Like how, like you, do you think you could go for like two rounds, three rounds? Like, do you think anybody does that?
No.
So I want like our the listeners longest and like, streak. I want to, yeah. yeah, of like true. So you're always playing the ball in the cup. You have to play the ball in the cup. Mm-hmm. And right. then truly how many holes in a row can you go without a three putt?
And honestly, I feel like I could go about five holes.
yeah. So I think I had one. I want to say I had one round this year with no three putts, but that might be even pushing it. Like,
yeah, they're very few and far between when it does happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder like, but if you, but here's the
thing. Get hot though. Who knows? You know,
but, exactly. And dude, in my head, because I had so many three putts the round before this round, I swear to you, all I'm thinking is like just two putt. Yeah, like if you could do anything this entire round, I don't care what you score. Don't make a fucking three putt. Like legit. Don't make a three putt. And it's funny too, because the first two holes we started off, I was trying to articulate to them, but they were looking at me like I had two heads. the two putts that I saw when I saw them from behind, what I saw when I got over the ball, I saw something completely different.
Oh God, which is the worst.
And both times,
you just gotta trust it.
Both times I was like, fuck it. I'm going with the thought. I'm going with the last thing I just saw. So the way I'm looking at it now, I'm like, I'm just going to trust it. And two of them were like,
ballsy.
Two of them were like kind of tricky putts, dude. And nailed both of them. Like right. I was just like, whoa, okay. Like now I
double
like,
breakers too, right?
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I got some confidence. So this was easily the best I've felt with the putter.
And it showed. He was absolutely dialed. It was stupid.
I didn't miss. Yeah.
We'll miss. That's a good. You could just
we're
stop.
On 16.
All right. So we're on 16.
Par five.
The par five, which I'm salivating. This one, I end up hitting driver. And I hit a shit driver, short right, punch up. I missed the green. I ended up having no. I think this was the hole that I had another chunk. I ended up having to get up and down. So I ended up making a one putt, but I parred.
It was a good par.
I was like.
I don't think you chunk scrambling. One. I feel like you just hit it heavy.
I think I hit one heavy. Yeah, I hit something shitty.
Yeah.
So like just but had still, to make up
scrambled
for
par again. So
yeah, scrambled
I'm
for par.
At this point still one over and you're even going into what?
17.
Eight, yeah.
Or eight, yeah.
Yeah, eight. So this one, what would we have here?
It's the short par four over the trees.
Oh yeah. I just went 7 iron, I think, off the deck, yep. right down the middle, wedge, good, another good two putt.
Yeah.
Went into 18, decided to hit 3 wood off the tee, which was like, so as of now, I think I hit one driver. It was on 16. It was that par 5.
I hit it shitty.
Yeah. So I go 3 wood here. I hit it good, but it ends up, if floats a little bit too far left, ends up kind of blocked out by the tree.
Yep.
I hit a I don't really have a play. I got to just kind of like advance a 7 iron. The tree's in my way. I just want to hit like a good one kind of over the corner of the tree. Hit a 7 iron. So I had like a buck, I think like 100 yards in, hit a 56 degree. The pin was at like the top, you know how it's got that big like swale in the middle of it? Mm-hmm. It was like the top half of the bottom of the green. And then I was up on the top.
Okay.
So I had to putt one down.
Which is scary. That's a scary putt though, right?
Very scary putt. Yeah. Pin was in. It was like a huge break. Like you had to hit it up to the top of the hill and then let it fall down the hill. Buried it.
Oh, one under.
Buried it. One under 35.
Oh my God, Roddy, you must be so mad right now.
I'm not exactly mad. But I'm ready to battle. And then as we know, we're gonna find out what happens on number one. I mean, we know what happens with me. He's gonna get a pretty sizable lead.
So first hole. All right. So I'm one under, you are one over.
Yeah.
I was one under, I think, or I should say I've shot one under 3 or 4 times this year on 9, always on the second 9 though. And that's been, historically this year, I have not played well on front 9s at all. So it's actually almost good that maybe in my mind, because we were playing 10 through 18, it thought it was
right.
Yeah, maybe I can only play those holes. I can only play 10 through 18.
Yeah, it's like tricking you.
So I was like, I didn't think anything of it, but I do remember saying like, it is weird that I did this in the front 9 this time. Like I normally don't have this chance really. But going into that 3-hole stretch that we talked about, which has been my kind of low key nemesis, the last 4 or 5 times I've played Fairview. So decide to hit 3 wood off 1, hit it pretty good. Another wedge in that hole. I think that hole, I just 2 putted.
Thank God I didn't screw you up shooting that 8.
No. Yeah. No, I hit the fat part of that green. I remember after seeing you hit one fucking to the moon.
Yeah.
That was tough though. I will say like, I knew where you were at and we were going, every single hole I'm writing down, we're just even, we're just par. Yeah. Like we're tied. So obviously that hurt, but being able to make a par there for me was huge.
Yeah. Took a 5.
First hole is big, man.
Went from a 1 stroke to a 5 stroke lead. Cause I mean,
exactly.
Let's be honest,
also confidence wise. Right. You're like, all right, let's just keep this rolling where Ronnie went up.
Yeah, you didn't go out just shooting 8.
Yeah, so I'm 1 under. So I'm 1 under through 10. Yeah, we're on 11.
Yeah.
That hole, so number 2 at Fairview, I decide to hit 3 wood. I hit a terrible 3 wood. This was the best miss I could have had in this situation.
Yeah, you can miss left.
I hit it just hard enough where that tree line comes in on the left there. I was just past it.
Right.
So I was able to hit like
hills over there, right?
Exactly. Like, yeah, so I was up the hill. That hole is low key, like that green is a bear.
It's all huge. Uphill. It's huge, blocked and it's off all to the uphill. Right.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's a tough hole.
So I end up hitting a really good approach shot there, 2 putt. So now par. So I'm 1 under. Jesus. Through 1 under 11. Through 11. Now we're on the 3rd hole, the par 5, which honestly this
tee shot's been in my head. Arguably the hardest tee shot ever.
And it's been in my head because my miss is pull right.
Of course.
My miss is pull right. OB is right.
Yeah.
I'm 1 under through 11. OB right. And I'm like, I fucking have to hit driver. I have to hit driver here. And here's the crazy thing is that what I found in the last 2 times that I played was that I truly have to like act and set up and feel as if I'm hitting a draw with my driver. And right. that's the only time. So I'm aiming like left, whereas like my miss is normally like that big left ball. So I'm aiming left. It feels so uncomfortable. And I smoke driver, and I kind of just, it's not a real draw. It's just like a pull draw, but I'm aiming so far left. It ends up on the right side of the fairway.
And you call it a draw.
And I call it a draw.
Okay. Yeah. And really it's just a pull draw.
It's a straight pull. It's
just a pull, right? Pull. That's all.
It's a pull draw though. And I hit it pretty good, and I was like 205 out, and that hole, every single approach I've hit there in the last 4 or 5 times I've played there, I have lost the ball. And that's like in my
head. Because if you miss right, it's
deceivingly shorter than you think.
Deceivingly short, and if you run it to the right side, I mean, that ball could run for days.
That's what's happened. That's what always was.
You have to play that hole to the left, and you really don't realize how downhill right that goes.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And there's like that big swinging hill too. So like you can be left and end up like you can end up in a good spot.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I need to hit a good, I was like, I kind of want to be as safe as I can, but while also being aggressive, right? It's like it's a short par five. Like I need to score. Who am I thinking? Like,
but you don't need to like hit the perfect shot there.
Exactly. So I was like, all right, I think I'm just going to hit a 6-iron. I was 204. Brett was up on like over the little knoll so he could see. And I flush a 6-iron.
Yeah. One of the best shots I've seen.
Yeah. And I can't see it obviously, but I hit it in the, I looked at Ronnie. I was like, I hit that exactly where I wanted to hit that. Like that is the exact shot. And I finally, Brett, like it settles and he's like, yeah, you're going to really like that. So now I don't know where it is. I'm like, oh shit. So I'm 1 under through 11, get to the green. It's like, what would you say was like 15 feet, 12 feet?
I'll give you 15.
15 maybe.
Yeah.
I was going to say 20. and
that's why I said, I'll give you.
No, that's sick though. On and two. Like,
yeah.
Eagle
yeah.
putt. Yeah.
And it might have been 20 now that you're saying that.
And I bury it.
No fucking way.
Center cup eagle. I'm sitting there. I'm nervous for him at this point.
Wait, so you're 3 under right now?
Through.
Oh my God.
12, 3 12 under through 12.
Now, before on the green,
I
hit my 8 and then I went par and I did that.
Yeah, Ronnie's like, I'll play good golf, but it doesn't fucking matter.
Literally, Hammy looks at me, goes, why are you so jacked up? I was like, that was a fucking eagle. And he goes, yeah. Oh my God, I thought that
they didn't
birdie.
Even know. Yeah,
they thought it was a birdie.
Yeah, I mean, you so don't like, see many eagles, so, like, so you just don't see them.
I'm like, he's 300.
And I wanted to talk about it. Like I needed.
Yeah, you should talk about it.
Yeah, and we definitely did. We definitely did. Like we knew where you were.
Yeah, that was where it was like, oh shit, this is like real. That was when I was like, so we didn't really talk much about like where I was at. Like even when we finished 9, I was like, I just shot 1 under. Like we didn't even like, we weren't really like keeping up with it. Yeah. And then obviously par the first two. And then when I made the eagle,
we haven't really broke this down since then because I kind of wanted to do it on here, but like when you made that eagle, I immediately went into caddy mode.
I know.
And I don't know if that helped or hurt, but I was dialed in for
so,
you.
So see, at this point too, like this is where I would go, which is the worst place to go. It's like I would be like, okay, I'm 3 under, I can bogey 3 holes, par 3 holes, and still end up with even par, right? That's where my way would go, which is terrible. Like, you should be, like, in full, like, let's just go low. Like, let's go as low as possible, right?
Right.
Like, let's, the way you're let's playing, shoot right? Three like, under. Let's get another couple birdies. Let's get a couple pars and get out of here with a fucking...
Okay, so I'm going to tell you exactly where my mind went. This is actually hilarious to say out loud, because when I was recapping this in my own head, I was like, that's actually funny. When we stopped at the turn, the Ranger Rick came over and somebody, I think like Ronnie, was like, yeah, he just shot 1 under. And he like made a joke, like going for the course record. He only said that because not like I even had a chance. It's 62.
Right.
He only said that because he was with the guy who shot the 6. He wanted to tell the story. And this dude goes like 8 holes deep. But when I first made the eagle, I thought wait, what's this par again? How many more would I need to get?
Yeah, what would I need to get 62? Well, it's a par 71. Right?
It's a 72.
No, it's a 72.
Oh, it's a 72.
So even yeah. Like I was so she far had
to hit the rest of the holes.
No, but then
three more holes.
Yeah. But then eagle.
I love that. That's the mindset though.
But like, then then it immediately went to like what you were saying is. But my thought process was this was. I kind of have three strokes to play with right now to yeah. shoot par. Like yeah, my mind kind of went to par. I knew the 300. So I'd been
300 is almost like a luxury. Like at this point you're like,
it's so deep. Yeah. Like yeah, it's so deep. I'm like, this isn't where I know I'm not. I don't belong
yeah, this
here.
Is not
like,
right.
I don't belong
yeah,
yeah. here.
Cause if you're at even you're going in your head. You're like, you can't fuck up.
You're super defensive.
Yeah, there's no room. Like you're like, I'm at that level where like
exactly
this is glory if I can do this.
I think,
but I can't mess up. Exactly. Right? Here you're like, I can. Not that you want to mess up or that you plan to like do something stupid, but like you could
be a little more aggressive. Free. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The biggest thing I thought of, and you said this during the round, I think like with three holes left, you said, let's just have a bogey in hand going into 18.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
That's I don't know if it helped or hurt you, but like,
well, so when you talk about caddying, what you mean by caddying is just profusely telling me to put my driver away and not use driver.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Every single tee box. I know. You don't need your driver.
No,
you don't,
I know.
And he kept arguing.
Well, because you even that driver that you hit probably wasn't very good. Right?
No, not even smelling the center of the club.
And you got away with it.
Yeah. He doesn't need to do it though.
That's right. You're hitting fucking
his irons are so long.
270 with the
exactly.
Wood.
Exactly.
So I come off. I'm thinking about the three, but that was where I'm thinking about now. Like I got three to play with, but that was where. So I'd been there. I'd been one under at this same spot before once, and I'd been three under through seven holes once. So I really hadn't been here, but I've kind of
this is deep.
But I've at least been like around. Like I'd have sniffed the chance potentially at par before, but nothing like this.
Right.
So. I will say that I was definitely like, I could tell in the moment that I knew what was going on. Whereas like when just talking about like pressure and like, I shit myself the next hole, but I made par.
You made par though. Yeah.
And the par three.
Downhill, so the par three, the downhill
par three.
Yeah. I hit the green.
Where were the tees?
It was, they were actually they short. Were down. Yeah.
Oh, which is,
I was shitting myself. I was shitting myself because now it's like, oh shit, I'm three under. We come around and I don't see the tees up top. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like massive. Like, this is such a, like now I feel like almost like par's in hand here and see him down low. And then the pin though was front right as you could get. But I was just like, I'm just go hit the green.
Yeah.
I hit one like pretty far, but just made like a good two putt. And so now I'm three under through 13, but this is where I'm like, I really got to like slow down. Like I'm really starting. And that's my thing is I know that when, if it gets nervy, my thing is to like be quick. So I just was kind of,
I believe driving to the next tee box after that par, you said, I think I'm going to take driver and go for the green on this.
I did say that.
That's so. I'm the one over the water.
Said you're an idiot.
It was, dude. It was. I've never seen that line before, though. It's the pull draw. It's literally the pull draw window.
Just aim way left and pull draw it around.
Yeah, it's a pull draw, baby.
So we decide on a 5-wood.
Yeah.
And I like that.
And I smoke it, and I draw it though, and it just Ronnie actually hit one right next to me. He hit trees.
Yeah.
And his dropped, but mine was like just on the tree line where I was just blocked out.
Yeah.
Like I could try to hit like a full wedge to the left of the green, but, and maybe actually you don't even think I was, I don't, if I remember correctly, you didn't think I was as blocked out as I thought I was.
No, you were a little bit better than me. And cause I was a little behind you and a little bit more guarded, and I showed you the way. I showed you exactly how to hit that shot.
Yeah. And I chunked it down the hill.
Yep.
So now I'm like, okay, we're good here. That's first thought in mind was like, I got that one to play. I know I got one in my pocket right now. So all I'm thinking is like, truly just make a bogey. I probably had like another like 40 yard wedge shot. And I hit it. I think I actually hit it pretty good. End up missing the putt, two putt, make a bogey. So yeah. Now I'm two over through what? 14
two under.
Yeah. Two. Yep.
Two under through 14. Go into that par five.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was a big,
this was the hole.
This is where I really argued with you.
Yeah.
About the 3-wood driver thing, because you were insistent on pulling driver on this.
I wanted to hit driver bad.
And it would have been glorious if you hit your draw. But I told you that a 3-wood, if you fan it off left, you're still not going to be in trouble, that you're trying to eliminate misses. And I convinced him to hit 3-wood.
And I pull hook a 3-wood.
Oh, no.
Straight into the woods,
the trees, yeah,
into the trees, and I get the one bounce. I really only had like I didn't. It, it wasn't like a out? Bunch of, and it came out.
Did it come out?
It came out directly down.
Yeah,
right along that.
So rock not a lost ball. I mean, that's not a lost ball. Great situation, but not a lost ball.
Oh, exactly. Also the ball. So get this. This is what's crazy. Fairview had no balls, no sleeves, no nothing. That's end of the year. I'm running on fumes here.
Okay.
My buddy Nate gave me a sleeve, which I have no idea why he had these, of ERC Soft Triple Track Callaways. Okay. So I take that. That's the ball I'm playing. I've never played this ball in my life. And when I use the triple track, Hammy kept yelling at me because I put the triple track sideways like a piece of bacon. and I let it roll over the top. I don't use it to aim. I like to keep it like
vertical,
kind of see that being where my putter finishes type thing. Which
it was wild and like, unnecessary. And you might be a serial killer for doing that.
It was like, sick. But I'm one ball and this shitty ball hits this fucking tree and comes in. That's the one real scuff I had on it.
I mean, things are lining up, you know, like, I mean, that shit happens. You're like, okay, just hit a good second shot here. Let's
Yes.
So now I'm hanging on. I didn't really have a look like the tree. There was like an overhang. I was just trying to punch it up. Yeah. I think I hit an okay punch shot.
No, you hit up right by where I was close to where I was.
Yeah.
We both like kinda, and then we both kind of finished from there.
Oh, right. Right.
Yeah.
But I had to get, I got up and down for a bogey.
Just off.
So
left,
just off the left. I was hanging on. I actually almost, I chunked the chip there. That was when I almost made that chip. So I chunked a chip or no, it was out of the bunker. It was out of the bunker.
Do you remember what this?
Now I do.
I don't even know if you remember what was going on.
I do vividly because the bunker was like concrete, but the ball was the one part of the bunker that was, Brett was actually in the bunker with me. He was on the opposite side.
Yes.
Yep. The one part of the bunker that my ball was in was where it was like, you could tell that water was collected there. So it was definitely a little softer under. And I was in between picking it again or like taking a full like wedge shot.
Yeah.
And I saw Brett go before me and his, like, he swung hard and the ball just kind of like went nowhere. I think his went nowhere and it's just like, I didn't like it. So I was like, all right, I'm going to try to pick this. And I should not have done that. And I barely get the ball out of the bunker. So now I'm hitting five and the ball is like, there's like that long grass that overhangs right on the bunker lip. It's like sitting on that. So I'm like I had like my 2 feet together and I got to take this club pretty much like catch it, clip it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yep.
And I almost make it. It almost went in.
So close.
So that would have been to save par and I miss it, but I tap in bogey. Okay.
So you're flirting here though with
so here the wheels bogeys. Are
he's
exactly.
got he's one under with three to
two,
play at this
you're
point.
You have two shots of three already spent on the last two holes.
Exactly.
And that was where I was like, it was definitely,
yeah,
I was
now you have,
very
now
aware
you have
of
water
it.
In front of you on a par three. Here we go.
And dude, then the next hole, the pin on this one was all the way top right, probably six paces from the top right corner of the green.
Somebody
which I've never
pissed.
Seen it up there.
It was so close to the right edge.
So that's funny. That's where it was when last time I played there. It was up way top.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah,
that must be there. That's their Sunday pin. Yeah.
Interesting spot, that's for sure.
It was dirty and I hit I hit the right yardage, and I was on, it was a long putt, but I was on top. And that's the thing. So here's what was, I was putting very, very well, but it was cause I didn't miss anything with inside 10 feet. So it wasn't that my like two putts were all like tap ins. I didn't have any real kick ins. Like my kick ins were not really off like putts.
Yeah.
So it was 6 footers, 5 footers, and 4 footers. I was just burying them.
Yeah. Right. And it was like after a while, it was just no brainers that they were going in. Like a 6 footer center would of the be cup. Like, yeah, just pick it up. Like that's how, and like just center of the cup, just dripping it in. Like it was
the best I'd ever felt with a putter. Yeah. All right. Gina, so we go to, so two putt par. So I'm 1 under, 2 to play.
3 to play.
No.
Two. Oh yeah. No, you par.
That was 7.
Yeah.
Two. This is the, so what, now we're at 8. So that's the hole with the field goal post is 8, right? Coming back.
No, oh, no, that's 8 is similar to number 1.
Oh, just, right. Yeah, it's just going down. It's going
down. It's a very short par 4.
Short par 4 downhill with trees on each side. Yeah.
Oh, right.
I mean, you can be like 50 yards out of you.
Exactly.
Pretty sure you wanted to hit fucking driver again.
I did. And the tees were all the way back. So they were on the, like, that long island tee box.
Yeah.
They were as far back as they could go.
Yeah.
And I wanted to hit driver so bad.
Again.
And I hit 5 wood.
Yeah.
And I hit a hard draw, which was really just a pull, a hard draw down the right side, and I actually got a pretty good kick because I had to look in. Oh no, dude, this was that shot. This shot was so disgusting.
It was.
So I'm on the right edge. So that hole, if you can think of it, is tree lined, goes down, and then there's 2 bunkers.
Yeah,
and they layer.
Yep. Like one's short. On the front side, one's on the back side. Like
exactly. Yeah, so if you drew, a line, they're protecting like 3/4 of the green. So that like from almost the whole left side, or sorry, like a quarter in on the left side, all the way to the right side, they're covering. It's probably the first one's probably like 25 yards, maybe 30 yards. The next one has that, like, you know, right in front of the green.
Yep.
So I'm behind this tree. The 5 wood went down the right side of 8. It's like 125, 130 yards, I think. No, maybe not. Maybe it was a little less than that, like 110-ish.
And you're near that tree there? I know exactly.
And I'm by the tree. Right, the tree's overhang. So
right.
Exactly. Right next to the cart path.
Yeah, it's right next to the cart path and right next to the bunker there, right?
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. So I'm like back behind that tree. So I have to go either low, but keep it above the sand, or I have to go high and like out to the left and try to catch like a little piece of the green.
This is the shot that we were talking about. Hard.
Like this was very like, hard.
I kept saying, I'm like, you don't need to do
round.
I'm like, you don't need to do anything fancy. All you have to do is get to the
throat. And all I could see was
all you have
fancy.
To do is get to
right,
the throat.
Right, because it funnels down into
it
the
funnels
the
down right.
Like
if you
can run it. Down
right.
there, and it'll run
and that's
down.
What I'm saying. I'm like, you don't need to be a hero. All you need to do is get it up there.
So here's actually where you came in huge. There was you when we were doing club selection. You were like, I would hit like a pitching wedge or a 9 iron, and I would never really in that situation. I'd never really punch like that low of an iron. I either punch like a 5 iron, a 7 iron, or if I'm gonna do anything like that, I'm just gonna like try to hood a 56. I never really hit that distance. So I was like, ooh. So I was looking at my clubs. I was like, you know what? I'm going to grab a 9 iron because I think I can do what I want to do with the 7 iron, but I can keep it low, flight it enough, but still have it get enough height where it clears this bunker and kind of like shape it. So we're talking through it. We talked through it hard. And I was like, fuck it. I'm aiming off the edge of this bunker and I'm going under the tree over the bunker. And I'm going to try to hit the middle of the green. And with like a little bit of draw, like spin on it,
which is kind of
hero. Where's the pin?
It's the hero.
The pin was like
dead middle, right?
Middle right.
Yeah. So I
landed on the front, and because you maybe hooded it a little bit, it's gonna get some good spin to the right,
and it's gonna feed right towards the pin.
Love it.
And I nailed it.
Hit it absolutely perfect.
Hit it. I could not have hit it any better.
It probably bounced 10 feet before the bunker. bounced over the left edge of the bunker, hit the green, spun a little bit.
It just starts funneled down to the fucking,
right to the pin.
Right at the pin.
Yeah, it was so incredible. Sick. I was just like, holy shit, that was good.
Like, holy shit,
that was good.
So that changed everything, because then I was like, oh, I got a legit birdie look. I'm not thinking like I got a bogey in my bag. But right before I told, that was when I said to Ronnie, was like, yo, I just need one going into to 18. 9 or to 18. I was like, I feel like I can get away with one.
Yep.
So end up missing the birdie putt.
Barely.
Yeah. That one was a tap in, but make par. So I'm one under through 17. Completely blackout on 18.
Yeah.
Pull driver.
We agreed on this though.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was open. Yeah, it was so open.
Yeah.
I said
if you don't pull it, you can't pull it. Because I feel like some
the tree, I've you can't really your, pull it too hard.
What did I say to you, John? Do you remember?
I don't say it. You gotta remind me.
I said, you better listen to me. I want you to go up to this tee box with that fucking driver and act like you're hitting one over the Shawnee River.
Yes, that's right.
I was like, I want you to draw that thing like you think you can get to the other side. Swing as hard as you can. And
I'm not going to lie, dude. In my head, too, I was like, I'm swinging as hard as I fucking can.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you have to. Yep. You have to. There's no finesse there. Just fucking swing, man.
Nope.
Yeah.
And it drawed. It definitely drew. And
it was a standard aim left, pull right.
It was a dead pull right, but I was aimed perfectly right.
Yeah.
And I was a little blocked by that tree, like that dead tree that kind of overhangs. Same
spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
He did. Oh, yeah. Because there's a tree there that can be troublesome on the right side.
If you
right
hit it side, far enough. Yeah.
He did. It did come a little right, and we were both on the thing. And
because
actually,
the green. Goes right too.
It goes right. Like, and it's protected by the bunkers in the front right and in the back left.
Yeah. And that green's huge too.
Yeah.
It's pretty huge. Big. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So I forget what I don't remember what club we hit, but I think it was like
I hit an 8 and you hit a 9.
Yeah.
I hit an 8 and it kind of went through the tree.
It went right. Yeah.
Yeah. Before you. And then
I hit a nine. Yeah. And I was kind of protecting on it a little bit. Like, I didn't want to hit the tree at all. And I missed left. So I missed the green just left. But it is like 3 yards from going in that back bunker on the left, which is like huge. I'd had some.
Yeah,
I
not
just
being
had
that, that bunker.
I just chunked out of that bunker on the par five before. Like, I needed to not be in that bunker. But I was short sided. So the pin is short left on that side of the green. Okay. It was a pretty nervy chip, but like
who was more nervous, me or you?
I know
I was
you were behind
up
me.
I was sitting behind him, and I'm just like, "Oh my
so
oh
it
my
was
God.
It was
yeah,
a
so
chip.
You so so I so at this point you're hitting three, so you have a
I gotta get up
par
and down.
A par gets you to minus one, a bogey gets you to even,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and a birdie gets me minus two,
right? But you have
and
to
a
chip
double
it.
And a double
and a double gets
you a really
me.
Really
oh, the worst 73
decent
of my
73.
Life.
God, that is so true. You, I don't know what happened.
Thankfully,
to him,
that
you
did not.
Bogey, if you bogey this hole, it's like
that's what I say. He was one chip
or double
one
bogey
chip away.
And it was not. It one was not duff. An easy chip. But I was so in the zone. I was just like,
I feel like at that point,
I can
just
I can hit this. Yeah. And I just miss it. I almost made it.
Almost made it.
Oh wow!
Almost made the chip. And
almost made
I
it.
Had like
had
a
little. It had a
had
little
get
run.
Little gas to it. Yeah. So I probably had like a 4 foot or maybe. 3.5, 4 feet, 5,
maybe, even more. I thought it was longer. Like it was a definitely six? Missable putt going.
Oh,
for
No, it moved it,
for
it
par.
Was,
for
it was
par.
Right. Yeah, for par. It was right edge and it went in the
you
center,
nailed it.
Center
fucking one under
71.
Let's fucking go, man. Dude. How about that for a last round of the
oh
year?
Oh, my God.
It made no sense.
It was incredible. It was honestly like talking through that, all the shit that you did there. Like, it was. That was an incredible round. Like,
that's incredible, dude. Yeah. It's so funny because we've sat here, right? Like with all these podcasts and be like, all right, like someone's going to shoot an even par at some point. Right. And like, it's the last round of the year after come, but I guess that's like what happens, right? Like you don't,
every time you don't expect something to happen, it happens, right? You played like, you know, in your mind, like shit for the last, you know, couple months probably. And now you just come out and fucking.
I couldn't have been further removed from playing the game of golf.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wasn't playing.
Would you say you were like, but here, I mean, this is sounds like a dumb question because you shot 71, but were you completely dialed? Like, did you know, like,
okay. So I saw
part of me is like thinking that you weren't like even all that, I don't know. Like it just seemed like the putter seemed like it was really good. I don't know.
Putter
it
was
seems like,
well, so here's the thing is the putter was definitely like well above average, but everything else wasn't like I had three like chunks.
Yeah.
Like, and it wasn't like I was flagging everything. Like I only had like, so I made two birdies and an eagle and three bogeys.
Right.
The one birdie I made on 18 was a bomb. The other two were the eagle and the other birdie were like, those were my two like legit looks. I probably only had like two or three other legit looks.
But your eagle was a 20 footer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a 20 footer.
I mean, so that's like, I mean,
maybe 15.
Yeah. Easy,
but still, you're talking like, I mean, very low percentage putt.
Yeah,
to make,
yeah.
You know, like you're not
for sure. Should have been a tap and birdie.
Yeah. All right. So right. I want to read this. I'm glad you brought this up. I wanted to read this. I read this today. This is from Scott Fawcett. He said that he used to have Will Zalatoris read this before every round and halfway through every round. And this is like I don't know who wrote it, but in every discipline, the ability to be clear-headed, present, cool under fire is much of what separates the best from the mediocre. In competition, that dynamic is often painfully transparent. Sorry, I fucked that up big time.
No, it makes sense. I mean,
in competition, that dynamic is painfully transparent. If one player is serenely present. Maybe we should cut this.
Send that to somebody else.
I'm not gonna read it. It's too long. And of course, the first
part.
What's
the theme of it?
it's just like it's talking about like the ability to just be like super present. And that round, like that, like so the to your point, the caddying aspect, Ronnie. I think that like definitely helps because. That makes you like there. I literally was thinking about nothing but every single shot, but I wasn't overthinking it. If that makes sense.
Well, that's
I'm not crediting myself to anything, but
like that's what I was trying to get you to do is just kind of like this is all you need to do on this shot right here. Like all you need to do is hit it to the throat.
So I definitely like I needed that like reassurance for sure, but I was so deep in my own process. That was the first time that I realized that everything was almost like second nature. And I wasn't thinking of it. I was just kind of doing it, especially on the greens. Like, I don't know if you even noticed, dude, the first nine, I don't think I took a practice swing with the putter. I felt so good about like what I was seeing and like, I was just like, I'm making good strokes. Just trust it. Like I was very like in the process. And that's what it talks about is just like there's nothing different about it, but the fact that it's competition, right? Like, so it's what you make it, or there's nothing different about me playing this next hole, whether I'm 3 under going into this hole or whether I'm 9 over, it's really just another hole. And like, it's just another shot. And it's just another like, chance to hit whatever you're trying to hit, 3 wood off the tee, 5, you know, whatever.
There's a huge like discipline to not overthinking and also playing like free, right? That like middle ground between just playing golf but also thinking very much about that next shot, but not to your point, like not overthinking your shot, right? That middle ground is like where I think everyone tries to get, because you want to make sure you're thinking about the shot.
Right.
Thinking about what you're trying to do, but there's like a line where you have to like cut that out, right? Or cut it off, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. It's like you just end that thought process and you pick up a club and you
have to feel something.
You have to be athletic and do exactly what you're gonna do. Right. Like that's a hard mental state to get to, especially like when you're thinking about like I feel like when for me, when I get to that spot of being like where I know I'm like really dialed in.
I'm like, oh, I can hit any shot, you know,
right.
Which is not true, which is just right. Not like, it's not, that's not an accurate,
but thing it is if do. You convince yourself,
but I think that's the problem. Like, you don't want to you can't convince yourself you can do something.
Oh no. Right. Right.
Do.
No,
you're what I mean?
Like, you have to marry the two. That's the thing.
That exactly. Right. And that's a hard thing to do. Cause when you're so confident and you're playing so well, you're
exactly.
Like, exactly, I can hit this shot. And then you yeah. do it. And then all of a sudden you hit the ball in the water and now you have a right. double, triple bogey and your round is done. Right. Like it's the marriage of the two things.
The biggest thing that I kind of like decided at the end of that range session was I was getting way too technical. And it was funny too. This is actually very weird, but I was listening to the Chasing Scratch podcast on the way to the range. And Mike was telling the story about when his dad shot 71, and his dad's biggest takeaway was that he was thinking about nothing. And I just while he was swinging, like while he was playing, and I just kept I kept thinking about that in my head because I was thinking about too many parts of my swing. I was just kind of getting in my own way. And right. at the range,
it's hard to get rid of that.
It's hell yeah, it's super hard. So at the range, I just found a timing where I was just like, all right, if all you're thinking about is hips, like just let your hips win. Like
yeah.
your
think hips about win. One thing, not
one
10
thing.
Things.
So all yeah. it is hips. And that freed me up so much where I was just like, all right, I'm going to play when I think about just hips, where's the ball going? All right. I'm hitting these little draws. I'm just going to play a draw. And I hadn't done that all year, but I did that day and it fucking worked.
It was crazy. And I think we've all been there for a certain amount of time too.
Right.
Like we've all been able to do whatever we want for a 4 or 5 hole stretch. Like I feel like every amateur golfer has gone through whether, you know, they just play really well for that.
Right. You're even par through 4 holes. You're like, wow. Okay,
and you're like, holy crap. I'm going to shoot.
Let's continue. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's to go 18 holes and actually do that. Like, I think it totally makes sense that Fawcett has Zalatoris do that at the beginning and at 9, because like,
yeah,
too many big words, but
that
it's
break,
good.
Like the thing is like that break in between 9s.
Oh yeah.
Whether it's a short one or a quick one, I feel like
it's
no
a
matter
mental
what,
thing.
It is a mental yeah. reset.
Because no you're like, I'm always, through, I'm halfway
no matter what
through.
You did. How and many like, times you guys go out and shoot a 52 and then a freaking 39? Or like,
yeah, or vice versa. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, vice versa. Yeah, go out and shoot a +1 and then shoot an 8 on the next hole. Like,
yeah.
Just do stupid shit like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think even the last time we played, Ronnie, I think I shot a 42 on the front at Candlewood.
Yeah.
And I was like so pumped. And then, yeah. And then you come out and like, you know, whatever the reason is, you know, I shoot a 91 because I shot a 49 in the back. Like, it just doesn't,
right.
You're like, what, like 7 strokes? Like, that's right. A huge difference.
I know.
You know, it's
know.
Like, it's huge crazy. Difference. Yeah. It's like crazy.
It really
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, congratulations, Graphic. I mean,
yeah.
that is a
that's
crazy
it's a great way to end. Yeah, end the season on that,
dude.
One.
My cap dropped from an 8-2 to a 7-1. It literally dropped 1.1 points,
which is crazy. I
which
mean,
is hilarious,
is nuts. All right, so that took a little bit longer than expected. So we're not going to get too much into golf stuff, even though it's been probably a month and a half since we talked about golf, but hopefully next week we'll be able to talk about all the Saudi stuff, the driver changes, how Phil won 4 out of 6. How crazy is that?
That's so, and how good, like, he was on the broadcast last night.
Yeah. I didn't see that. Are you guys Eli and Peyton Monday Night Football guys or what?
Oh, it's the best. I didn't watch it last night. So
they're good, dude.
Yeah.
If you're not rooting for the team, like if you're not,
that's the thing. If you're not trying to watch the game.
Yeah, it's the best. Yeah, yeah. It's what you should be watching. Because
that's my problem. I was torn last.
Yeah,
night.
You're down. Yeah,
oh,
I mean, the
yeah.
Giants are playing. I'm probably. Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I didn't. I didn't.
Know,
I watched.
Eli, you might.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't watch but, when the Chiefs played. I watched the just. The
did
podcast.
You did you see what Phil said after when he was asked about the Eli and Manny the Manning curse or whatever?
Oh yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm not playing next
week. That's
why
I'm not
it's
playing
real.
Next week.
Yeah. He was hilarious, dude.
That whole pretty thing crazy. Is so good. It's so
yeah.
good.
We got a ton to get into. There's been a lot of golf in between, but before we go quick, do you think that there should be an off season in golf? Because what does like the past month and a half that we've taken off, haven't really watched a ton of golf. I've kept up with it. But like, what do these wins mean to these guys? Like, I feel like it's more of like guys that don't always win get some stuff and like they get, you know, their exemptions and all that stuff. It's bigger for them than it is for the Rorys to win and Hideki Matsuyama won again and Max Homa. Like those guys, like what do these wins mean to these guys? Does it change FedEx anything points. besides their bank account, really?
I think if you're those guys, that's I don't know. Like, yeah, it's a boring time for golf, I would say. But
it is. And should it be there? Like, should – I mean, every other season
I think they're going towards an offseason. I think that's happening.
But every other season has one. I don't understand. No,
and I think they are. I think hasn't there been a ton of talks about that, and I think they'll eventually get there. I think Rory mentioned something not too long ago about how that's going to happen. Yeah. But, I mean, if you're these other guys, like, this is the time – you have to take advantage of this time and win or like accumulate as much FedEx points as possible so you can be in the chase come next spring.
Top 30, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that if I'm one of those guys, what am I saying to you in that sense is like, there's plenty of dudes out here that are good enough to win. Like it's not just the top dogs. Like if you think about it, that's what it is, right? It's like the best players are taking their break now. And I think for sure, like the fans are definitely taking their break too.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll tell you what,
I've noticed that there are better fields though. Like in going over to Japan, there was a pretty solid field. This past week was pretty solid. Yeah. This week coming up is a pretty solid field. So I feel like guys are almost feeling like they have to play in these things, or they're going to get left behind.
Yeah, I heard something. I heard something the other day on another podcast, and it was about that specifically. People don't want to get too far behind FedEx Cup points. Yeah. So, because if you don't play right now and all these other guys are accumulating points, you're going to be playing catch up the entire season, which I mean, for the top dogs, it really doesn't matter that they're going to get there. But I think for those guys that are like, you know, 30th, 40th in the world, like that's a lot of points, especially when you're like,
yeah,
on the rise and you're like trying,
or just if you're not playing well, you know, like,
yeah, here would be this is
what I would counter to your point, Ronnie. This is what I would say. I would say one, you said no professional leagues have an off season, which is true, but what professional leagues do you know that if you're comparing them in this sense is like the guys who are maybe say 60 through 200 in the world now get the stage. They get the top stage. Whereas like, you know, in every other sport, your starters are playing. Like those are the guys that they're going to get burned. You don't really watch the backups, you know, everything like that.
So yeah. Maybe baseball and basketball should. I mean, I guess they do that with like the summer, the G League and basketball.
Yeah, true. That's true.
It's just so different though. You know? It's such a different
thing. So I'm saying it's more, I'm just saying that.
It's not like the G League guys are making $1 million if they win a game.
Right.
Like they win the championship.
No, but I'm saying that's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is just like, think of it in the sense of golf where like, it's just so hard sometimes to like stay in form for a long period of time. So you decide when you're resting and when you're not, and a lot of that has to go it's hard for that to be just like, oh yeah, we're always maybe your body can get into the routine, but we're always going to rest for these 2 months, right? Like so your swing could be peaking and you could be coming into the end of the season and it's just like it's the end of the season, or you can keep playing, you know, like it gives players flexibility on like whether a they want to work on their game, they want to play a lot. Dude, like that's like, I mean, we talk about Sungjae Im. I was about to read a bunch of sick Sungjae Im stats.
I might have missed the player of the year, but he's on.
You know what? He's number one on tour since 2017 rounds played. That dude doesn't miss starts. Now there might be something to that, but
Because he's got to go back to South Korea in a couple months and serve in the freaking army. That's why.
Trying to bank as much money.
He's like,
I need
to make as much money as I can.
Because he knows his career is going in the dumpster after this.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, but I agree with you. I think there should be an offseason. I mean, I'm literally watching no golf. So.
I know. And as big of a golf fan as I am, and we are as a whole, it's just, I don't know if it was because of the whole super season or whatever, like, golf just needs to take a little break and just, you know.
Yeah, they need a 2 month hiatus. Like that's what they need from October, but I'll tell November. You what,
it's
shut
firing
it down
right now because LPGA. There was the leaderboard was ridiculous, freaking last week.
Didn't Nelly just win again or something?
Nelly won again. And it was like a, it was like a 3 or 4 way playoff. It was her, Lydia Ko, Lexi Thompson, who can't make 5 foot putts, which I can.
But you're just throwing like, the top names in LG.
That's what I'm saying. Like they're all firing right now. So it's like, how do you not play?
Well, that's where like, see, LPGA should take advantage of this time. And this is what they should be doing. Instead,
that's where they should highlight that.
They should be playing their majors now.
Now, so that they can watch it. That's a
on Mondays.
Yeah. On Mondays.
Yeah, I mean they can't have it on Sundays.
Oh yeah, they can't.
Yeah, true.
Maybe Saturdays. Maybe Saturdays.
Maybe just shift the whole schedule.
Wednesday. Well, they're like not going to compete with college football either, honestly.
How sick it would be if it was like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
That would be honestly.
Go play on the West Coast
for a
go out play on the West Coast.
Right.
Play on the West Coast.
So that it's prime time over here.
Yeah. Oh my. Oh, that
would be honest something, boys.
The LPGA. I can't even say it.
That's yo, Wolf's been balling too, by the way.
Yeah, we don't have to get into that though.
Wait, no. Can I read these Sung Jae-im stats real quick?
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to hear ranks
on the PGA Tour since 2017. Events played 98, rounds played 342. So these are all first. He's first in events, first in rounds, first in birdies, 1,413 birdies. He has 286.
Question. Yeah. How many birdies do you think you've made in your life?
Oh my God.
Six.
I count them on one hand. Yes.
Maybe under 50? No, I've definitely made over 50.
No, you I would say
I've played a bunch of golf now.
I would say I'm around 50.
How many rounds play? Say 30.
Because I was firing this year.
Oh especially. Yeah, no, I'm maybe over 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're probably flirting with 100. Yeah. But I think you're probably selling yourself. I bet you're over 50.
You think so?
I think you're over 50.
I think I'm probably around 50. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
Maybe. I would say
this you think about year it, like, I probably made like.
You probably made 20 one, at least.
Yeah, like I would say I make one every two rounds, I would say. Is like my average. Yeah. So if I play, you know, if I played like last year, I played like 35 times. This year, I played like 20 times. So you're talking, you know, 25 birdies right there.
Yeah.
And then, man, maybe it's more. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, though. My birdie percentage has gone up since I got old Yeller.
I believe that.
That's all I have to say.
Anyways, I'm Sanjay.
286 more birdies than the next dude on tour in that span.
Wow.
Since 2017.
What's the next events played though? Like,
yeah, who's
that's
number
that's
two,
the real question. I mean, I could go out and shoot fucking.
Well, listen,
100.
Get in the club, boy. Sanjay's in the club.
Sanjay's my boy. That's well documented.
He stays
on this,
in the gym.
This podcast.
We don't talk about the seconds. We only talk about firsts.
That's it.
First in birdies. First in rounds under par, 223. First in rounds in the 60s, 181 rounds in the 60s.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's
out
hard.
Out of 394.
Listen
rounds
to this.
Or something?
This is my favorite one. Yeah, at a 342.
Yeesh.
First round of 67 or less. So to open a tournament, 67 or less, he did it 86 times.
Wow.
That's insane.
How is he not one more? Is the question.
He's second in Eagles with 41 Eagles. Wow. That's the real question. How has he not won more? Seriously.
He's like, first in rounds.
He could be
over 70 on Sunday.
He low key might be another like Finau guy where just like the it's just bounced the wrong. Like he just has not. Right. It hasn't been.
And
it hasn't
no
been
one,
as polarizing.
But he's not American,
no one's.
So like,
yeah,
no
one's
one
noticing.
Much,
yeah.
Yeah.
He is. I mean, he always is like up there, especially in majors. So he's right there.
He's okay, close. Well,
I got one more thing because now you reminded me that we followed up the Ryder Cup, but I definitely didn't talk about this. I don't know if you saw this, Frankie, but did you see the guy who won an $8 parlay for the Ryder Cup?
On Sunday,
he predicted every single singles matchup. So he
What do you
every single
he predicted
one, Frank.
Every single one. He predicted the ties between Morikawa and Hovland and Spieth and Fleetwood, and he got every other point right. He bet.
Did he get just the winners right, or did he get like the?
It was a 12 leg. So he got what I don't. No, I think it was winner.
Like you didn't so say like winner, once two up. Yeah.
Winner
no,
draw.
No. It was just it was money line. No, it was just money winner. Line.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It was the money
eight,
line.
$8 12 leg yeah. parlay. No. It had to have been. It had to have been what you're saying. I think it's what you're saying. I think it's like two. The,
like
two
he predicted, JT
four up, two and three, two and one. No. Yes. Because listen, it was an $8 bet. He netted $966,000.
Yeah. It had to be.
Yeah, he can't. That's just
almost
not
$1 million. That's on a crazy $8 bet.
Because I bet you, even if he just predicted those,
just to win, just
eight matches, right? Eight matches. What is it? Eight matches.
12?
12. No. 12 matches. Yeah, 12 matches. You're right.
Is it 12? Yeah, 6 and 6.
Yeah.
No, is it? How many fucking? No, it's 12 dudes on the team, right? That play.
Yeah. Yeah.
It had to be something crazy.
Because even if you predict all 12, you'd make a lot of money, but not $900,000 on an $8 bet.
Dude, right. Almost $1 million on an $8 bet.
We all know what happened, too, because we've all done it. We've all done this. Well, maybe not you guys, because you're not allowed to, but
I have. No, I know what you're talking about.
You get deep into a night, and you just go in, and you pick every single...
Wait, can we end this podcast with you telling the story about what you're looking to do?
No, we can't because that's still under wraps.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can't talk about that yet. That's too exciting.
All right.
Are you about to win a lot of money or something? That's good.
No, God, no.
You're going to find out.
He was going to surprise Shelby with a simulator in the garage.
Yeah.
What a surprise that would be for her. Yeah.
No, it's got kids games on it, like dodgeball and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It doubles as a kids game. So,
want to swing set? Let's get a simulator. Idea, get it more active.
Frank, you're going onto a damn golf course. You're gonna be fine. You don't need any other.
And also, it does have a simulator at the place too. So,
say no more.
Yeah. Hope you got a couple extra rooms.
Oh, I mean, the plan is, these houses in this neighborhood definitely have a couple extra rooms. So,
shoddy first member guest.
Yeah, wow.
That's fine. I'll go see Mike down in Pinehurst when you do that.
Oh yeah.
All right, boys. Well, this was a good comeback. And we'll talk soon. We'll leave him on the 19th.